This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. Early last summer, the Center for Environmental Health, CEH, filed notices of violation against producers and distributors of avgas in California, warning them that they are violating state environmental legislation. The notices went to more than a dozen companies at 25 California airports, and since then, there's been talk of possible legal action leading to a ban on leaded avgas in California. Industry interests organized, and the General Aviation Avgas Coalition filed an injunction against the CEH that a judge has since dismissed. We're speaking today with Caroline Cox, who's research director for the Center of Environmental Health, for an update on the current state of affairs from the side of the CEH. Caroline, thanks for joining us.
Sure. I'm really happy to be able to speak with everybody.
Before we dive in, let me give some quick background information. This all began with Proposition 65, which in California is legislation that generally seeks to protect people from the possibility of elevated levels of toxins artificially introduced into the environment. In this case, that means lead near general aviation airports released into the environment from piston engine aircraft. What's required, Carolyn, of California's aviation interests under the proposition?
Proposition 65 is somewhat of a complicated law, but the part of Proposition 65 that is relevant to our litigation about aviation fuel is the part of the law that requires businesses in California to warn people before they expose them to significant amounts of a toxic chemical.
Well, I don't think there's much dispute that lead has negative health implications. Is there any evidence that lead in aviation fuel burned in aircraft at airports has caused negative health effects in people living nearby?
So one of the things that we are learning about lead in more and more detail is that it has an ability to interfere with the development of the brain, especially in children, and that as research proceeds, we find that those effects are measurable after smaller and smaller levels of exposure to lead. So most government agencies that look at lead will tell you that there's no safe level of lead exposure for children. I'm not aware of any studies specifically in California looking at children around airports, but there was recently a study done in North Carolina where some researchers took all of the measurements that had been made of lead levels in children and then did kind of a geographical analysis of that and showed that children who live closer to airports have higher blood lead levels on average than children who live farther away. What this tells us is that, children who live near airports are being impacted by the lead exposure.
Well, and it's my understanding that that's not even necessarily the core of the legal issue in so much as the government sets limits on levels of lead. And in these cases, at these 25 airports, is that what you found, that they've exceeded those limits?
Right. The way that Proposition 65 is written is that the state defines what under the law are called safe harbor levels. And if exposure to a toxic chemical is above that safe harbor level, then the business needs to provide warnings to people who are exposed.
Specifically, when it comes to these aviation interests, these FBOs and operators there in California, from CEH's perspective, how can they comply with the law?
Basically, there's two ways to comply with the law. One is not to expose people to the toxic chemical. The other is to provide the warnings, or potentially some combination of the two. And as public health advocates, we, of course, are really interested in helping the aviation industry reduce its use of leaded fuels. And so we will try to do what we can in the course of the litigation to encourage that kind of progress in the industry.
To sum up, the aviation community could send out a mass mailing or place an ad in the newspaper or put up signs nearby the airport, otherwise informing people of the potential for higher lead exposure, or they could cease putting any lead out into the environment through the burning of avgas. Is it also a possibility that they could simply reduce the levels so that they came in below the standards set by the law?
Yes, that's true.
In that case, how do we judge what the levels are? How is it that you go out into the environment and find out what the levels are around the airport?
Yeah, you know, that's a question that doesn't have, unfortunately, a really short, concise answer. It's difficult to measure people's exposure, and of course, exposure varies a lot. And, you know, there's a lot of things that can impact exposure. We've done some modeling around airports of how much lead people would be exposed to. And, you know, one really obvious thing is just which way the wind is blowing on a given day will determine, you know, where people will be exposed. So I'm not going to say it's completely subjective or something, but there are a number of different ways to approach that problem. And that would be something that we would be negotiating and talking to the industry about.
When you say negotiating, I guess the first thing that jumps into my mind is settlement. Is that sort of what you're implying, that that perhaps this case could be settled without going to court? And if it is a settlement, does that necessarily mean money changing hands, or does that mean actions? What could that mean?
The Center for Environmental Health has been doing Proposition 65 litigation ever since the organization was founded, which was 1996. And during that time, virtually all of our Proposition 65 litigation ends up with a settlement agreement rather than going to court, which I can't foretell the future and say what's going to happen with this particular litigation. But in general, you know, we try to avoid the expenses involved with a trial and come up with a settlement that both is good for the businesses that are involved in the lawsuit and good for public health. Our goal is to find a kind of win-win situation.
Would a settlement necessarily change the way aviation interests operated in California, or is it possible that they could potentially admit no wrongdoing, pay a settlement, and continue business as usual?
Our goal is to protect public health, and so in any agreement that we negotiate, one of the most important things about it is that it accomplished that goal of protecting public health. So I don't think something that was just kind of a status quo would meet that goal.
But is it possible that a settlement could be reached without, because we mentioned the complications in making these measurements, without measurements being taken in the environment to see how the lead is currently dispersed and how it's changed?
It would help if I just really quickly gave an example of some of the litigation that we've done in the past, even though, of course, it's, you know, it's different industries and different companies, but it might help people understand. So several years ago, we were concerned about the use of lead to make wheel balancing weights. And unfortunately, what happens to a percentage of those wheel weights is they fall off the vehicle, they're in the road, they get ground into dust, and then that dust blows around, people track it into their houses, or it washes down the storm drains, and it goes where it's not, you know, not supposed to be. So we, again, use Proposition 65 to start litigation with the companies that made wheel weights that were sold in California, and we negotiated with them, and as we talked with them, what we were able to create was what the company said is that, you know, for a lot of reasons, they were interested in no longer making lead wheel weights. One reason was that, for example, Europe no longer allowed lead wheel weights, so they had to make wheel weights out of other materials for the European market. And what they really needed was kind of a guarantee that there would be a market for their wheel weights made of other materials. And California has so many cars that we were basically able to provide them with that market. So we worked with them to come up with a date that was feasible for them, after which time they would no longer sell lead wheel weights, and they would provide wheel weights made of other materials. So that's just an example of the kind of settlement. And you know, we're just starting on negotiations in the aviation fuel case, so I have no idea what will happen with that, but I just wanted to give an example of the kind of settlement that we've done in the past.
I would think it might be a complication in the case of the aviation fuel. Is the federal level control over aviation interests when it comes to aviation safety, which might, I would imagine, somewhat tie the hands of California-specific aviation interests. Has there been any consideration to the FAA's and EPA's efforts to get the let out, as it were, of aviation gas independent of what's going on in California?
Sure. And we would like our work in California to help move forward the work on the national level to find a more environmentally friendly fuel for general aviation.
So where are we right now, and where are we going? You're in negotiations right now with aviation interests. Is if those
right,
and the hope is that those will come to a settlement, and I assume that means is necessarily money going to exchange hands in a settlement, or can the aviation industry simply take action without paying anybody?
You know, one of the things about a settlement agreement is that it's an agreement between the parties involved, and pretty much it can say, you know, anything that all the parties agree to. You probably know that Proposition 65 does have penalties for violating the law, and one of the things that we've done consistently over the last 15-plus years that we've been doing Proposition 65 litigation is say that, you know, companies that are really willing to make a step in protecting public health, that we're willing to negotiate smaller penalties as a way of providing an incentive for the company to really do the right thing. And I have, like I said, negotiations are just starting. I have no idea where they'll go or how they'll end up. But I guess the point is, everything is on the table.
So
maybe I shouldn't say everything, but you know, within reason, everything is on the table.
So CEH may be using this relatively small group of California suppliers to influence federal level changes in aviation fuel?
You know, clearly, you know, our work is, I mean, we're a small nonprofit organization. It could only have a certain amount of impact, but we're really committed to whatever we can do to encourage the aviation industry to take steps that really protect public health.
Well, Carolyn, thank you very much for your time. We've been speaking with Carolyn Cox, Research Director for the Center of Environmental Health. I'm Glenn Pugh for avweb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.